CNN was the pioneer of cable news. They blazed the trail, if you want to get right down to it. This past week, CNN became news again and again, not for a positive reason by any stretch of the imagination. It's another example of just how far CNN has fallen internally as well as externally. You know, talking about the current state of what's left of CNN, as a person who spent 18 years as the evening anchor on CNN Headline News, anchoring thousands of primetime newscasts. Today, she's an author who creates characters that live and breathe on the page, as well as stories that reach into her heritage and, well, maybe even yours, too. Equal to that, and, well, if I could be selfish for a moment, maybe above all that, Tom, I could call her a great friend, Lynn Russell. Hello, Lynn.
Hey, my friend. How are you, Chris?
Always great to spend some quality time with you, even if it's just verbally and vocally.
You know, your intro, God bless you, takes me back to the days of radio in Miami when we used to have sound effects, including a flushing toilet. I wanted to reach for that button when you were talking about CNN.
Well, let's get into that because, well, just first, some background. Who, the name of, in the point of focus this past week was Jeff Zucker. Who, I guess, either is or was Jeff Zucker?
Was. Oh, you wishful thinking New Jersey. See, I'm a Jersey girl, too. I know what that means. You have to be really careful where you say that in Jersey.
This is true. Very true.
Oh, God. So, no, Jeff Zucker was running CNN, and right into the ground, actually. But, you know, you literally could get better ratings on your toaster after all the years that he worked toward that. But the whole time, it was very clear. Everyone is familiar with the Project Veritas recordings of his daily rants and his instructions to the crew of what they should do and what party line they should push. And that's just shocking. I mean, it is shocking. Yes, politics always rears its ugly head, but nothing like that before. It just, I go back to the days in my head when at CNN Headline News, nobody believes this, but it's true. We actually had clipboards with hot topics on the top pages and a line down the middle. And for every half hour, we did half-hour newscasts round the clock. We would write down, we would make a note of which side got the soundbite and which side got the word story of any, say abortion. Anti-abortion rights, pro-abortion rights, made a list of that so that everybody got even exposure. And then you go to this, it's insanity. So, and the result was, I believe, and you know, and I said this last summer on Newsmax, on Sean Spicer's show, and he looked stunned, and that was not my intention, but I believe that networks like CNN and MSNBC and some of the others, they can accept direct responsibility for creating the climate in this country in which we are seeing destruction from random shootings on the streets and virtually immediate release of the perpetrators, unconstitutional subversion of the voting process. Gee, you don't have to be political to figure that out. You just have to open your eyes and believe what you see and hear, you know, to the draconian COVID lockdowns and mandates and collusion with Fauci. But this kind of thing, it's a movie, only it's not. It's for real. And this guy, Jeff Zucker, he was at the top of it when it came to CNN. So, but that's not really why he allegedly is coming down now, right? Someone disclosed what everybody already knew, that he was having an affair with his number one person.
And just for added context, I mean, there were co-workers, office romances aren't exactly foreign to the office society. They were both divorced. There wasn't one screwing around or cheating or wrecking one another's family. It sounds like a simple policy. If you're having a romance within the office, just let us know about it. We don't want to hear about it from someone else because that's going to reflect bad on the company.
Right. But everybody already knew this was huge. It was high profile. So nobody's surprised that Jeff Zucker was having an affair, except women everywhere who wonder what the hell she was thinking. but I think, and this is, you know, I can't name names, but if you just look at the way things go, an excuse to disgrace him. But how can you disgrace the devil who lives for bad PR? To separate him from CNN, new owners coming in.
Well, Zucker didn't. Do you think Zucker's seeing the writing on the wall? Because John Malone, who's head of the Discovery Networks, which is going to be basically the company holding the reins of CNN now, Malone wants the CNN of old, the Ted Turner vision of CNN.
Yeah, good luck with that. I'll tell you, here's the thing. The network is so damaged that regardless of what Malone says, it couldn't be fixed. It would need a complete scrub down. Seriously, it's so damaged. Go to black. Everybody out. Bring back Ted Turner, who has a good head on his shoulders to this very day. Bring in Ted Kavanaugh. He created Headline News. It was the epitome of a just the fact journalism. Really, it was a radio format for TV. No interviews even. Just start with that. And then rehire on a case-by-case basis. Because there are many good people there are many scum. It would have to be recreated. And don't call it Cable News Network, because either exists or it doesn't. And it stopped a long time ago. I mean, CNN's not a shave cream. It's not a condom, a toilet paper. You can create a new and improved version. It's there or it's not.
Going back to something I said earlier in the show, I was talking about the New Jersey nursing homes and the senior deaths from COVID and the lax policies that they all had. One solution one of the facilities had was to, well, we'll change our name. They still have crappy care for the people, but they have a new name. That's not the idea here.
No, it's not. It's like what some spook friends that I know say about the KGB, how they changed the name, but it's still the same people. No, you really would have to. Literally, what do you have to lose by going to black? You can get better ratings on your kitchen toaster. Go to black. Sweep it out and then put back in. It's like cleaning out your closet and then replace the things that you want in there. And this would be the only entity doing it in the United States, Chris. Nobody else would be doing just news.
Well, I got to argue there, although maybe it's the means by which they did it. News Nation, the old WGN America, wasn't that what they tried? And it just didn't attract viewers, so they started doing talk shows. They brought Dan Abrams and a whole bunch of other guys. What did they not do that caused them to fail in what obviously has worked in the past, doing straight news?
Well, what year was that?
This was the past, 2 years? I guess they've been active with... I mean, I'll give them credit. They expanded to a 4-hour, 5-hour news morning show.
God bless them for that.
But their primetime
news. Maybe they should try again, because in the past 1 year, everything has gone down the tubes.
And looking at the rates, I actually just pulled up the ratings. We'll get to those in a moment, too, with CNN. But as far as her News Nation, their highest rated hour in prime time, being 5 until 11 p.m. Eastern, is their 5-hour straight news block. All those talk shows they brought in are tanking.
Well, maybe we don't need talk shows. Maybe we need somebody doing the news. Just start with that, the way we started before, you know? Start with that. Who was doing it?
I mean, it doesn't sound like a tough concept. We're talking with Lynn Russell, former CNN anchor, lynnrussell.com, her website. We'll get to her literary life as well, and it has expanded and exploded quickly. I was looking at your husband, Chuck, calls a Mother Zucker's the resume. And for those listening, if you want to hark back to the glory days of NBC when the fiasco between Jay Leno and Conan O'Brien took place, Jeff Zucker was there for that. If you want to go...
How many disasters do you want to name?
If you want to think back to where Zucker came from when he landed at CNN, he was the producer of the Katie Show, the daytime TV show from Katie Couric. Remember that grand success?
Mm-hmm.
Went right from there to CNN. Oh, let's see here. I mean, I'll give him credit. He did produce the Today Show, which is basically like finding a winning lottery ticket and not flushing it down the toilet. And he brought upon the eyes of the world through NBC to see Fear Factor. That was Jeff's idea. So all that combined is what led him to you folks at CNN. Weren't you just thrilled when he walked through the door?
Oh, you have no idea. Of course, when I left, Tom Johnson was president of CNN, and he did give a damn about journalism and about news. And I think he left about 2 weeks after I did.
And, of course, Zucker's consistent. The morning show that he created for CNN, New Day, which Chris Cuomo was one of the original hosts, that worked out well. That, in his latest weekly numbers, averaged in the what they call the money demo, adults 25-54, a grand total of 59,000 viewers.
Oh. Hasn't Trump had rallies bigger than that?
Joe Biden had rallies bigger than that.
Not recently.
that's quite true, quite true. But, I mean, that's the other idea, too. Chris Cuomo was floundering in mornings, so what did Zucker do? Put him on prime time at 9 o'clock.
All he cared about was making entertainment-type decisions. And then it went really, really south when he began making political decisions. And what I don't understand, Chris, is how they were able to find so many people who would represent themselves as journalists who would take part in that. I don't get that.
What's more concerning is why, I mean, some did escape, but this might be a weird analogy, but it's almost like in the world of pro wrestling, if you're not at the World Wrestling Entertainment, there's no place to go but down. If you're at CNN, your options are the one, unless you go back to a local level, that element, that's industry is kind of limited. You have very few choices.
But, oh my God, the things that they say, the things that they do, the venomous approach to delivering, quote, information. I'm sorry. I never worked with people who would do that. And I was there for 18 and a half years at CNN, and I worked 11 years in radio before that. I anchored and reported news from one end of the country to the other, from Florida over to Honolulu. I never worked with people who would sell out that way. I never even heard of such a thing. So it's a choice that they make. No one can make you do it. The people I worked with would have quit if that had even been suggested, because this in no way, this is not some, you know, editorial decision that we're making when we're sitting around talking about. And by the way, we never had the time to do that at CNN. We stuck to the facts as clearly and as quickly as we could at CNN headline news, especially without a lot wading our way through a lot of interviews, unless it was something that was crucial and it was time sensitive. But this is not something you sit around and discuss, should we, shouldn't we, is it right, is it wrong. This is all the time and on a daily basis. I have never seen anything like this before. I wondered if there was something in the water cooler. And then I started looking and listening to these folks, you know, women with voices so high only dogs can hear them, dressed like they're going to a barbecue. Right there you can tell there's no respect for the process.
You know, speaking of women at CNN, they claim to be one of those centers of wokeness, I guess is the phrase. If that's true, then why did they take Brooke Baldwin, who actually was, and I mean, she would be opinionated, I'll play devil's advocate here, but if you want to be one of the woke crowd, why would you take one of the rare women you have on the air off during the election cycle just to give one of your guys more time on the air, Jake Tapper in this instance?
Well, that's why, to give one of their guys more time on the air. It's a cesspool. I'm sorry. It's not CNN. It just isn't.
And that's why Baldwin. I know Bobby Bautista. When her contract came up, she walked away. She was one of the originals. I can probably go on with more names, which go far back enough it might be obsolete in some people's mind, that just flat out left the industry. They went off to do other things.
That's right. Some were able to hang in longer, and I give them a lot of credit for that. Chuck Roberts was on in the afternoons, and he did the first newscast on CNN headline news, and he hung in because he wanted to make his contribution, and he believed to the day that he left that would happen. And I think he left around 2008 maybe or 9, and you know, nobody so much as acknowledged it.
No.
Somebody who was on the air with him said something, took it upon herself to say something. But no, I mean, you know, it used to be you actually had to have accomplished something before you went to a network. Now I don't know what they're thinking. I can't watch, so I'm not an expert on all of the names and the personalities. But once in a while, somebody will send me something, or it will pop up in some way, and you know, I want to stick my finger down my throat. I actually, when I went to the gym, and I haven't been since COVID, but I made it a point, and everybody knew, don't give me a bicycle in front of the screen that has CNN on it, because I don't want to spend a half an hour with my finger down my throat at the gym.
Yes, really. Wrapping our time with Lynn Russell, LynnRussell.com, former CNN headline news anchor, now author, including, among other things, The Adventures of P.J. Santini. Talk about P.J.
I think you know P.J.
I think I dated P.J.
I think you did, too. I'm a Jersey girl, and she would have been from New Jersey, but other authors have chosen to spend all, you know, the character's time in New Jersey. And so I wanted to do it different. I thought, how different could it be from New Jersey if we just put her in New York? And at the time, I was writing, I was living in Toronto, so I would drive down to Buffalo. Because, you know, in the States, in New York, New Jersey, either one, you're sitting in a coffee shop, you're hearing a conversation that is inspiration to you that you will not find in Canada. Up in Canada, you know, you go to a Tim Hortons and you're hearing, hey, how about that, you know, not even hockey, how about the curling last night? And you go down to New Jersey, you go down to New York, and you hear, hey, did you hear about the shooting at the rink? <I'm> like, yes, yes, yes. P.J. Santini is a television news reporter and a private investigator, and I have been for 25 years. I still am a private investigator. She has a whacked-out Italian family. Hello. you don't have to make this stuff up. It's like the comedian Sebastian Maniscalco. You know who I'm talking about?
Yes.
Okay. He talks about family. He talks about the way things are. And it's not a bad thing. It's just a different way of thinking. And so that's the way it is in PJ's family. And she has a weakness for certain men who are, you know, strong and protective and handsome. And she loves the smell of Fahrenheit, Dior Fahrenheit, and Break Free gun oil. And I admit a lot of the dialogue, even before my husband and I got together. Turns out that's basically him. He's, oh, by the way, his name is Chuck DeCaro, and he was the first special assignments correspondent on CNN, and he's the one who writes on American greatness about things like Zucker, the one that came out today. I shot coffee through my nose when I was reading it this morning.
Yeah, that was, he was, you get, that's a verbal version of the Snoopy happy dance in that column.
I think it is, too. PJ, it's a series, since you ask, and the first one is Love Heals. The second book is, they're quick and dirty reads, I call them. That's what you'd say in the newsroom. They're just a lot of fun. They're challenging. Romantic crime is what they are, and isn't romance always a crime? Love Heals is the last one. Heals of Fortune is the middle one. And I'm sorry, I hope you're not hearing what I'm hearing.
Nope, you're fine.
Are you hearing it?
Nope, you're fine.
Okay, sorry, it was in my phone. Anyway, so PJ's a lot of fun, and I think maybe you did date her. She's well-meaning. She just, you know, she has a good relationship with extremely high heels and Godiva chocolate and cheap champagne and Chianti.
Every time I read one of PJ's, one of your books with PJ, I keep thinking, you know, which actress that you see regularly on the Hallmark movie channel could play her, because these stories have Hallmark movie potential.
Well, thank you. I never thought that, but, you know, I have an entertainment lawyer now, and he says that, and he worked for Paramount and was working on some shows that did quite well, and he said it's characters. You really, it's character driven, and that's the important thing. And it turns out there are a lot of fun characters. People you and I know. I think that's the thing. People can relate, so it makes me very happy. And I did take time away and it didn't take me 20 years to finish what I took time away from PJ for, but it finally was finished after 20 years, a book called Strega, which, you know, in Italian means witch.
Right. What compelled you for this story? Well, I mean, you know, was it a issue of Heritage, or did you just want to see, you know, this is, I got this, I got PJ down, I can do this, I want to try this now?
Ah, well, you're Italian.
Yes.
I'm Italian. We have families.
I know a few members of I know a few members of families too, but that's a whole different family.
I know it is. Well, that shows up in PJ's books too. Strega, and the full title is Strega, Magic the Spirit Never Dies, which I believe. My grandparents came from southern Italy, about 30 miles from Naples, and there is an Italian liquore called Strega, and there is a wonderful legend that goes with it. It comes from that part of the world, and it's golden, and it says that if you sip this with your true love, you will never be parted. On the other hand, if you sip it and your intentions are not the best, things can happen. Anyway, so the book goes back to Italy and very quickly, in 50 pages, faster than I've ever moved, goes through Italy from, you know, the 1600s to 1899 and then to the present day, and a descendant of the heroine in Italy. And it's about reincarnation and love and treachery and I have to say, the readers are very happy with it. They are all women who comment, who say that they can identify because they feel that women have gifts and they're misunderstood. So there you are, my dear Mr. De Bello.
A couple of stories of empowerment between what happened with Angela Scotti, Andy, and Strega, as well as PJ Santini, all of which are easily available over at Amazon.com as well as LynnRussell.com. Find out more about what Lynn is up to, what she is going to be up to, well, she maybe regrets being up to, all of the above, at LynnRussell.com. My dear, it's always a pleasure. We must do this more frequently, more often, and maybe one time soon, even face-to-face.
Absolutely. We just have to. Thank you so much for inviting me back to talk with you, Chris. You are wonderful. I love your program, and I respect you. And, you know, there isn't much of that going around these days because it isn't deserved. But you do deserve it, and good for you, and keep going, and don't ever stop.
And back at you, George the Girl. Thanks, Lynn.
Thanks, Chris. Take care.